Well, we often say it's a job you don't really want, but I'm pretty sure that Blake Solly actually wanted the job because he applied and got it. He's the CEO of the South Sydney Rabbitohs, and everything during the off-season is always terrific. Blake joins us in the studio. G'day, Blake.
Thank you, Terry. Yeah, very good to be here.
Things are always going well during the off-season. Mostly, anyway.
It is when you're not playing games. You're the best club in the world. But no, it's good. We've had a really good off-season. Great to announce the re-signing of Greg and Damien and Adam. Membership is going really well. We'll tick over 20,000 members in the next 24 hours. And there's a lot of enthusiasm, as the guys before were saying, with us being the best back team in the competition. I think our fans and our members are really keen on 2017.
Great to get the likes of GI back on board. And obviously, Coach Michael Maguire's re-signed as well, so things look pretty settled.
Yeah, I think when you compare us 12 months ago, there was a fair bit of instability about the club. This year, it's very stable. Great to keep Greg. He's a fantastic player on the field. He's a great ambassador off it. Really important part of our future. Same with Michael. I think if you ask any member what they think of Michael, they love him. He's brought the premiership to South Sydney after so long. He's a hard-working coach. He's a great person, and I think for us, that stability will lead to success in 2017 and beyond.
Phenomenal case study in so many ways, South Sydney, because they had that lack of success for four decades and they broke the drought. But even despite the lack of success, they were still the best membership, the most fans of any club in the NRL. The brand is just fantastic.
Oh, our members are so passionate. After 11 years in the UK, I grew up with a family that was all South fans, so I knew the passion. But you'd just be walking in the street and people would stop you, and 20 minutes later you'd still be talking to them about the club and signings and players and coaches. So that passion is fantastic, and I think it shows on the match day. Everything that we do, we want to service the members as well as we can.
You say 11 years in the UK. What were you doing over there?
So I went for a two-year working holiday. Yeah. 6 months in, met my wife, and stayed for 11 years. Anyone who knows people from Yorkshire know they're very difficult to prize out of Yorkshire. So it took me a long time. So I worked at Super League in the UK. Yeah. So had 7 years there and ended up as the general manager. Loved it. Loved working in the north of England. I think people from the north of England are very much like Aussies. They love their sport, love a good time, and love a bit of banter. But this was the opportunity to come back, and I took it.
Was Russell on the phone? Is that how did he get involved?
I had a couple of chats with Russell about it. Got to know Richo and Russell and Nick very well through the course of the World Club Series last year. And always admired what they'd done and how they'd built the club. And then the opportunity to come back was too good. They're great people, got great values. And I think 2014, as good as it was, is not the high watermark for the club. I think we've still got loads of room to grow and lots of potential. And it's great to be a part of it.
How involved is Russell within... I know it's a passion of his. How involved is he with the footy club itself and the day-to-day sort of runnings or the weekly runnings?
Oh, not so much the day-to-day or the week-in, week-out runnings. He's a very busy man. If he's on set filming, there's almost no time with him. It's a full-time job. When he's not, he's a bit more involved. But he's great because his passion sets high standards for the clubs. And you were talking about the way in which membership grew in those periods. Well, I think a lot of that was driven by his passion for the club, and that the standards he set are high, and there's nothing wrong with that. That actually is good for the staff, because we know we have to be good and we have to do the right thing.
Robbie Farah, mate, is he settling in?
Yeah, he's been great. I think pre-season training, Robbie's one of the hardest workers. Anyone who knows Robbie will know how hard he works. He's been great. The competition for him and Damien for spots will be, for the number nine spot, will be great for us. I think Damien finished the season so well. So I think we're in a really good spot with the both of them. It's good to knock Damien down for a few years as well. So, and I think Robbie's influence, his experience will be great around the club on and off the field.
Lucky enough to have Blake Solly, the CEO of the South Sydney Rabbitohs, as our special guest. If you've got any particular questions, you can give us a call, 13 53 53, always text on 0419 767 272. Blake, throughout all of last year, nearly daily, weekly, you know what the rugby league world is like. Yeah, Adam Reynolds wanted at South, wanted out of South. Was short he was going to be there, but wasn't getting re-signed. I mean, was there any truth in all of that, or how keen were you to actually keep Adam at the club?
No, I don't think there was too much truth in it at all. And I think Adam, when he came out publicly and said he wanted to stay, he was genuine about that. Shane did a great job in terms of the football department and making sure that the changes that had to be made were made, and they were done in a way that was really fair, which then set the scene for us to be able to go to Greg and go to Adam, go to Michael, go to Damien and say, look, this is a club you want to be a part of. We want to lock you down long term. Let's do it. And we did it fairly quickly. And Shane deserves a huge amount of credit for the changes he made to the football department and locking down those great players and great coaches.
Yeah, it must have been confusing after last year, because there was the Roosters, yourself. you know, and there were some sort of blackouts that came from nothing. It must have been head-scratching stuff there for a while.
Yeah, I think if you look at any sport with a salary cap anywhere in the world, it's very difficult to stay at the top for 5 years. South and the Roosters had had four great years before that where they'd been up at the top and competing for premierships. And there has to be some time and some season where things don't go your way. The NRL is as competitive as any league in the world. There's no doubt about that. So you don't have to be too far off to fall from first, second, third, fourth down to 13th and 12th. So I think what the measure of a club is how quickly you can react to that, change things and get back up the top. And that's what we're trying to do. The last 5 weeks of the season, we were outstanding, won four games, and were beaten by Melbourne in Golden Point. And I think for our members, that's what they can look forward to in 2017.
Blake, a significant meeting today. I know the draw will be officially announced, and it looks like you guys have got, obviously, the West Tigers first up, which is going to be a blockbuster on a Friday night, and that's going to be Robbie, maybe, if he gets selected against his old club. But this meeting with the chairmans today, so they'll all get together, they go to the commission, and they don't go cap in hand, but you want some, you want a little bit of finality about your salary cap. You say about trying to juggle all these players and fit them in. Are we talking crisis point? I mean, how serious do you think today's meeting would be with the chairmans and John Grant?
Well, I think it'll be serious. I don't think it's quite a crisis point. I think the game's got some big issues to confront in the next 2 years. The CBA is one of them, and giving the clubs a certainty around the salary cap from 2018 and beyond. Club funding's very important, the perpetual licence agreement. So they're big issues that are quite difficult to navigate through. So I think everyone understands that there's going to be a period of time before they settle and are concluded. But I think what the chairman wants to see and probably what the commission wants to see is progress to be a little bit quicker than it has been in the last 12 months.
Do the clubs feel like they're getting the rivers of gold that flow into the commission from the TV deal?
I'm pretty fortunate that I've sat inside a governing body for 11 years and at a club. So
that's true.
It's always the way that there's so many competing pressures. The clubs want as much money as they can to invest in their football departments and make sure that the competition is as strong as it can be. But the governing body has an obligation to the wider game. So they need to make sure that participation is adequately funded and the grassroots is funded. So there's always going to be a difference of opinion when you come into those sorts of meetings. But hopefully today is another step forward in getting the clubs to the position that they can accept, and also that there's enough money left to fund things that are really important to the sport, like grassroots, like participation and like the digital platforms.
Just tell us, mate, in terms of the education for the players, and I mean, I admire anyone that takes on a CEO role of a football club because it's, you know, it's fraught with all sorts of headlines at times and dealing with scandal, I suppose. And what are you guys putting in place, or what are you putting in place pre-season education-wise for the players?
So we're at a slightly different position. So the way we do things at South is that Shane Richardson, who was the old CEO, now runs the football department, and I run the admin and commercial side. And I think that's good because it gives Shane in particular the time and the energy to devote to the football department and in particular to player welfare and well-being. And one of the things that Shane's done over the last 2 years is go and spend a lot of time in America and Europe and UK looking at best practice, in particular around player welfare, education, well-being. So what, for example, at the under-20s, you have to be in study or paid employment to be able to play, trying to make them better footballers but also better individuals. We encourage our players to study, whether that be at TAFE or university as they're going through into the first team.
Do many do that? What's the percentage that would take that
I'd
on?
I'd probably say it's around about 30 to 40% of our players do it. It's difficult because the full-time training load is pretty big. So it's like anyone who works and studies. It's a real balance. Yeah. So,
but the fact of that is, and it's a bit a little like cricketers or any code, is that probably, what, four blokes maybe from under-20s would probably kick on?
We'll make the first team. Yeah, that's about right.
So they're... Yeah, it's important for them to have another trade, isn't it?
It is, because there's nothing worse than if your career finishes at 2021 and you've got no education, you've got no job at the end of it or no trade. So that's one of the, I think it's been one of the successes of the NYC is trying to get those players to train and study as they're working as rugby league players.
But it's going, isn't it?
It is going, and I think it will now become a state-based competition. So there'll be less travel, less demand on the players. I think one of the, if you like, the success of the 20s has been the study and work. Probably one of the failures has been the amount of pressure it puts on those young players to succeed, that all of a sudden they're NYC players and there's an expectation from family, friends and the people around them that they're just one step away from the NRL when
they get
really
a bit ahead of themselves.
They do, and really it's a huge gulf to make, and it puts a lot of pressure on players. So I think the new system will be far better. It'll allow them to probably stay at home for longer and reduce some of that pressure and therefore some of the welfare issues that they face.
Blake Solly for another couple of minutes. Mate, before you go, we've been asked by a listener, are you travelling north to play another NRL game? I think, where was it, Cairns?
Yeah, we'll be in Cairns next year. Not quite sure what round that'll be, but it'll probably be somewhere in June and July. So okay. We're waiting. Okay. The draw is released tomorrow morning, I think at 11 a.m, so we'll find out then.
I was actually wondered what the benefit of that is, though. Like, you know, when there's some codes that take these games overseas. I know it's a money grab, but... You know, AFL into China and that sort of thing. Yeah. You're not really going to grow the game, are you?
Not really, though. Cairns, surprisingly, doesn't see a lot of top-quality rugby league. I think the Cowboys play a trial game there and we play a competition game, but it is rugby league heartland. And so we've got a lot of members in Queensland. The game is probably our biggest gate receipt of the year.
Is it?
And the community get behind it because they're so starved of top-quality rugby league. So for us, it really works.
Yeah. Made the plane trip very crowded on the way home, though. I can tell you, there were some blokes struggling on that plane trip on the way home after a big weekend in Cairns. Mate, membership's so important. You mentioned already over 20. I imagine you'd want to try and get to...
Yeah, we want to get to 35.
35.
Yep, so membership's really important for us. We've got... they own 25% of the club at the end of the day, so they're key to the fundamental sustainability of the club.
We've had a couple of callers because, you know, content on your website's an important driver. If you're a member, you get more access to more content, correct?
That's correct. So one of the things that we did a huge piece of work this year in talking to our members and asking them what they wanted, and the members feel that if you're a member and you're making that financial commitment, you should get special content. So we've got a new member zone, which if you sign up as a member, you get access to. And for example, they got the first interview with Robbie Farah. They've had stories on Robbie Jennings and Robbie Rockow, and there's another one coming out this week about our March to 22 premierships.
Now, final one from me, mate. The NRL is seen as the number one sort of competition in the world of rugby league. But coming from the Super League, is there anything that you liked over there that you're bringing into your setup?
I think one of the things, because rugby league in the UK is so much smaller than the Premier League and cricket and rugby union, you have to fight really hard to get the attention of the fan and the member. Mm. So I think one of the things that I've tried to introduce in South is understanding the customer better and understanding our member better. Mm. But in terms of the competition, they're worlds apart now in terms of the resources available to them. I think the British clubs do really well to compete to the level they do in the market that they're in. Things like the marquee player rule that they've introduced over there are really special to that competition to try and compete with the NRL.
Blake, we know you've got a hook-up with the National Rugby League at 8 o'clock, so we should let you go to find out that you are playing the West Tigers in round number one on the Friday night, just so you can rubber stamp that. We thank you so much for your time, mate. We know there'll be that bounce back factor for South Sydney under Michael Maguire, and we wish you all the best, and thanks so much for your time and dropping in.
Well, thank you for having me on the program. Really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Blake Solly there, the CEO of the South Sydney Rabbitohs.